This album's celebrating an anniversary.
Kia ora, Sam. How you going?
Kia ora. How are you?
Yeah, real good.
Cool. Another Monday?
Yes.
Another album?
Yes. So what are we looking at today?
So today we're taking a look at the Beatles' soundtrack album for their film Magical Mystery Tour, which was released in 1967. It's turning 50. And this is actually the second Beatles album released in 1967, and I decided to go with this one because everyone else is talking about Sgt. Pepper turning 50 at the moment, and there's been a lot of attention given to that, so I thought we'll give a bit of love to the other Beatles album turning 50.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just going to say straight off the bat that I prefer this album to Sgt. Pepper, but that's just my opinion.
Controversial.
Controversial. But anyway, so just a bit of background into this album. So I said just before, it is a soundtrack to the film of the same name, and this is when the band were in the middle of their sort of psychedelic, you know, peace and love, kind of summer of love kind of thing, LSD, that phase. And with this, they wanted to make a film about this kind of thing, this, you know, the psychedelic kind of lifestyle they lived and that kind of thing. So the film was called Magical Mystery Tour, and it was an unscripted film, actually, and it basically followed a travel coach full of people traveling through the UK and experiencing sort of unspecified and unusual adventures about themselves. The name of the bus actually was called Magical Mystery Tour. And the film is very...
So it's really just a story about a bus.
It is, about people on a bus just travelling around up and down the country.
But the bus, like the object itself, it had its own personality.
It did, yeah. And it was like the idea that we're going on a tour of the UK and it's a magical mystery tour. We don't know what's going to happen, and lots of crazy, wild, psychedelic things are going to happen.
Yeah, and the you know, the bus was the catalyst, the vehicle of the story. I mean, excuse the blatant kind of reference to it being a vehicle, but yeah, anyway.
It was the vehicle, yeah.
I think it was a pretty cool way to make something happen, you know?
The film itself is very weird. The plot can be quite hard to follow at times, because it is an unscripted film. It's pretty much they took a bunch of cameras and just took the bus, went up down the highway and like filmed a whole lot of crazy stuff.
Yeah, improvised work seems to lose narrative if you don't watch out.
Yeah, yeah. And it's also got...
It's the Beatles, so who cares?
It's also got this kind of dry British humour about it as well. So in terms of comedy, there's strong influences of the likes of Spike Milligan and Peter Sellers and those types of people who the Beatles were very influenced by. So, yeah, if you're into dry British humour, you'll probably kind of get some of the stuff that's happening. But obviously, if you're not exposed to British comedy, it might be quite hard to follow.
I reckon like people in New Zealand are pretty dry, yeah.
Yeah, I reckon they are. I mean, we love British comedy.
Hard.
Yeah. But the film itself, it wasn't well received at the time. Critics hated it, and some of the Beatles even kind of tried to distance themselves from coming up with that idea.
Yeah, well, you know, not everything's going to fly.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah.
But at least they tried.
Well, yeah, they tried, but like I think a lot of people expected a lot more from them at the time.
Well, I don't know if you've seen the other two Beatles films before this one, Hard Day's Night and Help.
No, I haven't.
They're
actually
much better films than this one.
Yeah,
but
well, Help was kind of at the beginning of like their super fame.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you know that was kind of a reaction to that. So I can understand how their debut film would be more have more production value and maybe a script.
Yeah, exactly.
And a whole team behind it instead of just them driving it. But I'm sure it took a lot of trust and investment from the record company, and maybe they were quite annoyed with them. I don't know.
But also,
I just suspect
it's psychedelic hippie flower power. I mean, every idea is on the table.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
You know?
As much as it can be recorded, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, so with the actual album, with the movie, the band recorded 6 new tracks which appeared in the film. However, the record company wanted a full album to go with the movie. They didn't just want an EP. So they recorded the 6 tracks for the film. But what they also did was they included singles from the Sgt. Pepper session that were recorded then, but not on Sgt. Pepper. So songs like Penny Lane and Strawberry Fields Forever ended up on this album as well. In terms of the sound of this album, it's again very psychedelic rock, very kind of baroque pop in places, quite experimental, and that's basically just continuing on from what was happening on Sgt. Pepper.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's basically a combination of the new tracks for the film and some of the leftover tracks of Such and Pepper. So let's listen to the opening track.
Wait, can I just like, so this, you prefer this album over the other one?
Yeah.
Even though this album is heavily, like, pretty much the dregs of Sergeant Pepper. I'm just trying to reiterate that because that's what you said.
Oh, yeah, well,
I'm hitting you up on it, right?
I just prefer this record because it's more...
Because, like, Sergeant Pepper's, I think I'm on that.
Penny Lane and Strawberry Fields are great tracks.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. They are. But, like, what were they intended originally?
They were recorded for that session, but they were not released on that album. They were just released as singles.
True.
So, and because the record company wanted a full-length album for this movie, they decided to bring...
Beatles fodder.
They decided to bring those tracks.
Mad bangers.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, we're going to listen to the opening track and the title track of the album. It's called Magical Mystery Tour. And, this is pretty much the theme tune for the film. It's the song that opens the film. And I guess sound-wise, it's very up-tempo, psychedelic pop, baroque pop influences as well. And very much in the style that Paul McCartney was writing songs in during this period.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Get in that bus. Off you go.
Get on the bus. Yeah, basically, that is such an epic song to start off with.
Yeah.
Because, like, I do feel like I'm on the bus now. I'm very excited to see where we're going. Thank you, Beatles.
So that's the kind of the start of the film, and we're on the bus now, and now things are starting to go, you know...
Round and round.
Things are starting to happen.
We're also on the bus.
The LSD is being passed around.
Oh, no.
So the next track we're going to play is a George Harrison track, actually. It's called Blue Jay Way, and this is a very, very psychedelic track, quite similar to his track on Sgt. Pepper called Within You, Without You. It's very... Indian influence, because obviously the band, and particularly George Harrison, were influenced by Indian music. He played the sitar, and he brought that onto their previous few albums. And this track's kind of going down that track as well. I mean, it's quite droning. he sings in a quite a deadpan, monotone delivery, and you can hear that influence of the Indian styles of music that they were bringing in on this track as well. It's very, very psychedelic. One massive acid trip.
Well, but also it just, I can affiliate with this because it's like, you're kind of like, please don't leave, but if you do leave, please come back soon. Like,
yeah, don't be long.
Because I will be asleep.
Yeah.
Like, that's quite a real situation for me because I don't want to fall asleep before you come back. Or maybe it's just, who cares? Anyway.
No, it's very, very interesting. So that's Blue Jay Way, the George Harrison track on the record. There's always kind of one or two George tracks. Shout out, George. The next track we're going to listen to is I Am the Walrus, which is one of the Beatles' more popular songs. It was the B-side to the single Hello Goodbye, and much of the song itself is pretty meaningless lyrically. I mean, it's just John Lennon throwing lyrical ideas he had together to kind of fit what kind of sounded right. He also says, actually, he wrote the first two lines of this track while on acid. Mm-hmm. No surprises there when you consider that the opening line for this track is, I am he as you are me.
Yeah.
And also, this was actually the first track recorded by the group following the death of their manager, Brian Epstein. And incidentally, it was also banned by the BBC for the use of the word knickers.
Right, because that's bad.
BBC says it's bad. Yeah.
Cuckoo, cuckoo.
You know?
Yeah.
You can't use the word knickers. It's insulting.
Well.
This is 1967.
Yeah, it's very conservative.
The old BBC.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
I'm sure they don't mind anymore.
I'm sure it's all right now. Knickers. Yeah, there's far more worse things you can say on radio, right?
Let's try. So many good things.
So many sounds, so many squeals, so many voices.
You know, I like to think about it as like he's introducing himself to a bunch of people, and then at the end they're all kind of like, yes, nice to meet you, and they're all like having a conversation,
and it all gets,
because he's like, I am the Eggman,
yeah,
I am the walrus, and they're like, oh, totally makes sense. Great. Great,
great.
Welcome.
Totally makes sense.
Hanimai. Kawe fakama. You know, because at the end they all kind of come together.
Exactly.
That's
amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's a party.
So that's a really classic psychedelic rock track, which makes no sense whatsoever.
Well, it's
so
one of my favorites. I'm a fan of tangents.
Yeah, I like stuff that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, but it does make sense once you think about it.
If you get to the deeper level, maybe.
If you get to the deeper echelons of the Beatles.
Exactly.
Kind of fandom. Yep.
Well, the next track we're going to listen to does make sense.
Oh, what? What are we doing?
Sorry to go boring on you.
What are we doing?
So this one's another very well-known classic Beatles track. It's called Penny Lane. Now, this was one of the tracks recorded during the Sgt. Pepper sessions and was actually released as a single before this album came out. It's a Paul McCartney track. It's got a baroque pop feel to it. You got the French horn solo, the kind of lush melodies.
Lacy. What do you call them? Sorry, you just said baroque, and I just thought
baroque,
of like
frilly, lacy
cuffs,
crevasse. What are they called?
Something
like that. Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah,
fancy man clothes.
Fancy kind of. You know, well, let's go down to Camden Market, and you know.
Yeah, have a nice little time. What do you do down there? Anyway.
And so this was released as a double A side single with Strawberry Fields Forever. And it actually missed out on going to number one because of Egilbert Humperdinck.
Excuse me.
Yep, Egilbert Humperdinck was number one for that week with Release Me.
I don't even know who that is.
Oh, just a British kind of...
I don't want to know.
A British singer back in the day. And the song itself is actually named after a street in Liverpool. There is actually a street called Penny Lane. And in fact, if you go to Liverpool, you can actually go on Beatles sightseeing tours. Mm. And they'll take you to Penny Lane. And a lot of the lyrics in the song actually reference aspects of the street, like the barbershop, the fireman, that kind of thing. And apparently the barbershop in the track is still there. So if you go to Penny Lane, go get a haircut or something.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool. Penny Lane, there is a barber showing photographs of every head he's had the pleasure to know, and all the people that come and go stop and say hello. On the corner is a banker with a motor car, the little children laughing him. Pouring rain, very strange.
Very nice.
Hey, we got a text in. Apparently, the Eggman was Eric Burdon of the animals who enjoyed playing with eggs and orgies they had together with groupies, which totally makes sense, actually.
It does, yeah.
Especially because I was talking about, like, introductions and then, like, a party at the end and everyone accepting him. Like, makes so much sense.
It does now, yeah. Thank you for that text.
Thank you very much. And if you would like to text in, 5395... We've got the news coming up in about 10 minutes. And we'll be concluding
the segment after the ads.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, we will.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned, everyone. And
hey, can you hear that?
Street music, laughter, cups clinking.
It's coming from down this rabbit hole. Come on, let's go!
It's coming from K Road, dude.
Sorry, I have terrible directional hearing.
95BFM and the K Road Business Association presents First Thursdays. Head down the rabbit hole for the Mad Hatter's Tea Party. Bring your own cup for a St. Kevin's Arcade Tea Party, rummage for treasures at the Twice as Nice Market and Zine Fair, and much, much more. First Thursdays, 6 till 9pm, July 6th. Find out more at Facebook or at kroad.com.
Man, my feet are freezing.
Warm them up farm style. Step into a fresh cow pat. Toasty as.
Yeah, I don't think that works so well here in the office.
Why?
Seriously? Well, for starters, you heated that up in the shared microwave.
Find your perfect feet warmers from a huge range of Doc Martens, Converse, Clarks, Vans, and more at Pat Menzies Shoes. Now warming your toes with two stores, St. Kevin's Arcade, 183 K Road, and Canterbury Arcade, 174 Queen Street. Or online at patmenziesshoes.co.nz.
It's New Zealand. 95.
On 95BFM. We were there first.
Kia ora koutou, my name's Geneva. This is Morning Glory on Monday, and we're with Sam Smith, and we're about to commence our last song for anniversary albums.
Yes, we are. But firstly, let's just talk a bit about how this album was received and just a bit of the legacy behind it.
The legacy.
Every album has a legacy, good or bad. just commercially speaking, like all Beatles albums, this one did very well as well. It went to number one for 8 weeks in the United States. Got nominated for a Grammy Award for Album of the Year. Critics were also very impressed by the album. Writing for NME at the time, Nick Logan said that the Beatles were at it again, stretching pop music to its limits. He continued, "The four musician magicians take us by the hand and lead us happily tripping through the clouds, past Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds and The Fool on the Hill, into the sun-speckled glades along Blue Jay Way and into the world of Alice in Wonderland."
So basically everyone was doing acid.
Yes,
back then.
Even the journalists were doing acid.
Yeah, well, the journalists were especially doing acid. Yeah, they're like, what is this?
What is this?
I mean, sorry, LSD.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely doing something. Writing for Saturday Review, Mike Jean hailed Magical Mystery Tour as the Beatles' best album yet, superior to Sgt. Pepper in emotion and depth. That's debatable, I guess, but that's another story. And I think this album often gets overlooked, I guess, because it got pretty much left in the shadow of Sgt. Pepper. Released in the same year, similar styles. People go straight to Sgt. Pepper and often look past Magical Mystery Tour, which is a shame because it's a great album.
Mm.
And I think in terms of its wider legacy, I feel it's probably arguably the most overlooked Beatles album, definitely amongst their good albums, and is certainly a great 60s psychedelic
album. Well, it's just because like album. Sgt. Pepper just came in and just like actually freaked people out.
Mm.
Like literally freaked them out.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't know
what to think.
It was like a pivotal moment.
It was.
So regardless of anything that a band would do, if you release a pivotal moment out into the world, yeah, they're just going to see that,
yeah,
and celebrate that.
Yeah.
So I can understand.
Mm.
Yeah.
But we should celebrate both albums.
Oh, no, well, we're celebrating Magical Mystery Tour now. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
1967.
Whoop, whoop. Yeah, so, yeah, it's a classic 60s psychedelic rock album, and again, pushing psychedelic ideas to the limit, and what you can do with music, film, drugs, etc., etc.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah.
Okay.
What's up?
One text. Cravat! Ponce attire. From an unappreciator of Beatles in general, apart from some of their most psychedelicalized, is that a word? Well, work, and back in the USSR, Junior's Farm, maybe, etc. I recommend playing Liebach from their Beatles versions album Let It Be Possible Get Back, or I Be Mine, Thank and Use, Jesse. Oh, Chopper. I like Liebach.
Oh, yeah. I've never actually heard of them.
Oh, they're funny. Oh, yeah.
Okay. There's been a few Beatles spoof bands. The famous one is probably the Ruttles.
Oh.
Have you heard of the Ruttles?
Oh, no.
They were around in the late 60s, 70s. They released a lot of Beatles kind of spoof albums.
Oh, yeah, I guess, of course.
One of the members was actually is actually a member of Monty Python. I'm just trying to remember which one it was.
John Cleese, is it John Cleese?
No, it wasn't John Cleese.
Was it?
If someone knows, please text in. Who was the member of the Ruttles who was in Monty Python?
Oh, curry.
Thank you. But anyway, we're going to finish with Strawberry Fields Forever, which is obviously one of the band's most well-known and best-loved songs. And again, a classic psychedelic rock song from the period. The song itself is actually incidentally named after the Salvation Army Children's Home in Liverpool that John Lennon used to play in as a child.
Brilliant.
In the grounds. And actually, again, I seem to be becoming like a Liverpool tourism guide kind of promoter here.
You need to go there.
If you go to Liverpool and go on a Beatles tour there, you can also go to the Strawberry Fields and have a look around as well. Aww. There's a famous gate with like graffiti on it at the front, with, like, people over the years leaving messages and stuff. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much for coming in this week.
No, and pleasure.
See you next week. I can't wait to see what you come up with. It's always really fun. And I hope you enjoyed anniversary albums.
Thank you. Ka kite.
Let me take you down, 'cause I'm going to Strawberry Field. Yes, but it's all wrong.
that is, I think I disagree. Let me take you down, 'cause I'm going to Strawberry Fields. Nothing is real, nothing to get hung about. Strawberry Fields forever. Strawberry Fields forever. Strawberry Fields forever.
Happy anniversary to that album.
Happy anniversary.